Thank you, Vic. Thank you, Kathy. Good evening.
Hello.
Welcome to God's house. I had an intro written, and I thought this afternoon that I should rewrite it. Pastor Jay this morning spoke on Pentecost, which is the birth of the church, when the Holy Spirit descended on the believers with a rush of wind and tongues of fire. And it got me thinking about the two verses that I wanted to preach on tonight that God gave me in the past couple of weeks. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17. And what this really speaks on is our responsibility towards those that God has appointed as our leaders in the church. But I was hesitant to preach on this because the verses are separated by 10 verses between them, between 7 and 17 or 9. Math was not my strong suit. That's why I went into psychology, film, and then the ministry. But there is a gap between these two verses, so when you drop into verses like this, there is a real danger of that being taken the wrong way. So I really want to spend some time this evening grounding us in the context of Hebrews so that we understand these verses as God intended them, not only to be written, but to be understood by us. So we have Pentecost, the church is established, and then churches are established all over the place. Many of those first believers were Jewish converts. They had been Jewish, they had been following the Jewish faith, and then they convert to Christianity. And they faced terrible, terrible persecution. And in light of this persecution, what was going on, many of them decided that maybe they should go back to the Jewish faith. And so Hebrews is written almost as an apologetic or a defense of the superiority of Christ and the free gift of salvation that he offered. The reason why Christ came to earth was because we could not save ourselves. So the verses that we're looking at tonight are found in the last chapter of Hebrews as the author, in a sense, is giving closing instructions and kind of wrapping up the epistle to these believers. So the two things that I want us to focus on and take away from tonight: how do we relate to those that are in authority above us in the church, our pastor? But also, how do we relate to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? Hebrews 13, 7, and then 17. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. This is about our responsibility as followers of God towards those who God has appointed for us as leaders. This is a message about how we are to relate to our pastor and indirectly how they are to relate to us. We are blessed that we have a pastor who was called by God to be the pastor here, but also who has a real heart for God and a strong desire to know what God wrote and what God meant by what he wrote. A pastor who will preach the whole Bible to us, even those parts that are hard to preach and hard to hear. I have been to churches that just preach what we call the fluff. Those messages that are easy to listen to, that are fun to hear. These are the passages that edify us, and they are in the Bible. And they are fantastic. Don't think that I'm poo-pooing those passages that edify us, because I am not. But if all you are hearing each and every Sunday is that I'm okay, you're okay, you're not hearing the whole Word of God. And typically, in those types of churches, there is very little spiritual growth going on. Because if we're doing everything right and everything is okay, why do we need to change? If everything is just hunky-dory, there is no need for us to go any farther because we have already arrived. We have not and will not finish on this journey until we either get to glory or Christ returns. God wrote the whole Bible for a reason. It is His revelation to us. As followers of Him, we should desire to know all that we can about what He wrote, and that includes those passages that convict us, and that includes those passages that make us uncomfortable. Now, I don't want anyone to think that I'm singling them out here tonight, but I want you to think about this. If what is being preached from the pulpit makes us uncomfortable, if it pins us to the floor, we should see that as an area that maybe we need to take a closer look at and make sure that we are being obedient to God. The Holy Spirit convicts us, and it is a good thing that He does. Because if He does, and when He does, it means that we belong to God and we have work to do. If you are not pinned to the floor by a certain sermon, that is okay too. That might mean that this is not an area that you need to focus on, and that is okay too. We should look upon this message as a reminder to all of us that we need to make sure that we are doing what God has commanded us to do. I see a great deal of love in this church. But a reminder every once in a while, if taken in the right way, is a helpful thing, as I pray this message will be. Before we go any further, we should ask for the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are the Almighty God, that in Your infinite wisdom, compassion, and grace, You chose to spare mankind instead of destroy it. I pray that You would illuminate Your word to us, Father. Our desire is to serve You. Help us to follow You, rely on You for everything, and bring honor to glory and glory to You in everything that we do. I ask for help and understanding. Give us focus and clarity of thought. Help this message to say what You would have it to say to us, Father. Let it be a light and a blessing to every believer here. And if there is anyone here tonight who is not a believer, who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, I pray that today may be the day of salvation for them. We know that it is You and You alone that saves us. And we love You, thank You, and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. This is a verse that I have seen taken out of context, that I have seen warped, that I have seen bent into saying something that it does not. And I am saddened to say that I have met pastors and congregations who look at a verse like this and think that it says that the pastor is supposed to rule over them with an iron fist, to be the absolute authority. A pastor who exercises absolute control over these people. These pastors are oftentimes rather arrogant in their conduct, and in my mind should not be called pastors. I'm going to tell you point blank, God is the only one who is the absolute authority over us. So what does this verse mean then? As I said earlier, we have to understand the context. And the use of the word translated as rule. The context of Hebrews 13 is all about how we relate to one another. To let brotherly love continue is how 13 starts. The one who carries... Well, the word translated, let me back up for a second. The word translated as rule is the Greek for one who leads. Properly, one who leads the way ahead of us. The one who carries the responsibility of leadership. And that's exactly how the ESV translated. Leaders. Remember your leaders. They deserve the cooperation of us who they lead. We have spoken the word of God to you. They have spoken the word of God to us. Those who proclaim, those who speak and discern the word of God, God, who has absolute authority, has placed a pastor to lead his church. And because we are followers of Christ and we have a pastor who follows Christ, we need to not only follow, but to remember that he is God's man in God's church. Furthermore, we are to consider his way of life and to imitate his faith. Not only that, but we are to consider those leaders or pastors who have gone before, looking at their example as well. I have been blessed in my life to have two pastors. Many here have had more than that. We are to consider their example and their lives, what they have taught us. And I think of Pastor Kleinfeld, who was my pastor in Wooddale, and I think of Pastor Don here. I also think of Pastor Jameson, even though officially he was never my pastor. But I look at the examples of those men's lives and what they have taught me. I think of how each and every one of them will be in glory. There is not a doubt in my mind about that. And I think about how each one has taught me a great deal, and not just about being a pastor, but about being a follower of Christ. How these men conduct their lives is an example to all of us. The author of Hebrews earlier in the book talks about the faith of Abraham and the faith of Moses, how when God called them, they followed. They led and they taught. And one of the commentators that I was reading this past week said that a reasonable respect and humbleness is a necessity for learning. And that is very true. If we do not have respect for our instructors, if we do not have respect for our pastor, we are not going to learn very much from them. We have a pastor who strives to preach what the Word of God says. It is sad to say that preaching the Word of God, the complete Word of God, is becoming a rarer and rarer thing in this day and age. There are pastors out there who do not preach the Word of God because they either do not know the Word of God or they do not care about God. Or they know the Word of God and do not like what the Word of God says. When Rebecca and I had moved back from Illinois to Michigan, we were looking for a church who had a pastor that followed God, that preached the Word, and a congregation that was a family of believers. Those were the three criteria that we had because we had been a part of a church like that in Wooddale. And ever since we had left Wooddale, we had been searching for that. At Wooddale, Pastor Kleinfeld of First Baptist Church, First Baptist Church of Wooddale was God's church because the congregation had a heart for the Lord, the pastor had a heart for the Lord. The pastor led, and they followed. The congregation recognized that in following the pastor, they were following God because pastor was following God. You take a look at our pastor. Preaches all of the Word of God, and in his life and in his conduct, he follows God. They were in a good situation out east. God told them they needed to come back to Lansing, and they came. God led, Pastor Don followed. We should desire to imitate that type of faith. He has been in the ministry for 40 plus years, following God, learning, understanding, and preaching the Word of God. Paul, writing to Titus, who was a young pastor who had been sent to set in order the church in Crete, spoke to him about appointing elders in the cities. Now, we don't have elders in our church, but an elder is essentially a pastor. And these are the qualifications that Paul gives. For a bishop, pastor, must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. That right there is a pretty large part of the job description. That is a large part of the call. It is not something that any individual can accomplish alone. It has to be God's will. I think oftentimes people will get the wrong idea about what a pastor does. But if we look in the Word, in 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, what a pastor is to do for those who are in his charge. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Sometimes it is hard to follow, but most of the time it is also hard to lead. It is hard to be an example to those around you. Pastor Don is a sinner, just like all of us. And yet God has charged him with leading this flock. Now, he is technically still on vacation, has been for the last 2 weeks. But I am willing to say that not a day has gone by during this break that he has not thought about or prayed about this congregation. Now, I work hard as an assistant pastor, and typically we will get Mondays off, but it is rarely a break for the senior pastor. More often than not, I will pick up Pastor Don on a Tuesday morning, and he has already spent a majority of Monday working on the message, studying and preparing for the following Sunday. Typically, in a given week, he has two messages to prepare for Sunday, and he spends a great deal of time making sure that what he is presenting is what God meant when God wrote it. Pastor Don preaches from the Bible and only the Bible, and the reason why he does that is because God, the God that he served, the God that he serves, did not write anything else. Pastor Don also deals with the day-to-day running of the church. The things that he has to deal with are varied and at times challenging, and I could give you several examples. On top of all of that, Pastor Don has also taken on the responsibility of training up an assistant pastor. And that is a role that not a lot of senior pastors would bother with. Pastor Don understands where I am in terms of being a pastor, and he knows my strengths and weaknesses. Rebecca tells me on a daily basis that I need help, and she is right. I do not know of anyone who would set out to be a pastor unless they had been called to it by God. You just can't do it on your own. It has to be what God intended, and it cannot be done without God. God has to be first and foremost, or you do not stay in the ministry for long. 5 years is usually the cutoff for a majority of pastors out there. The primary job of a pastor, other than to lead the church, is to preach the Word of God, the whole Word of God, without excuse or exception. James 3:1 speaks of teachers of the Bible, those who have a good understanding of the theology and can relate it to others. And a pastor would certainly fall into this category. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Those who teach and preach the Word of God will receive a stricter judgment from God. We are all going to face judgment one day, a pastor even more so. If we are saved, we have Christ to serve as an intermediary with the Father. But a pastor is going to be held to a higher standard. One of the things that appealed to me when I came out of high school and started attending Michigan State was that the class sizes were 200 to 500 students in a lecture hall, and it was very easy to hide in a crowd. A pastor is going to receive a stricter judgment from God. A pastor is going to be singled out. We're all going to face judgment, but a pastor even more so. So we have God's man in God's church. We are to consider his life and imitate his faith. But what else has God commanded us to do? Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Obey those leaders that God has appointed over you and submit to their authority. For they are on alert for your souls and must give an account. Let them do so with gladness, because if they do so with grief, it would be an incomplete or a missed benefit or blessing for us. Now, obedience means to submit to those in authority. In this country, we have a system of law that, in my humble estimation, is very reasonable most of the time. Out in Ovid, where I live, at the end of the known world, there's an intersection just down the road from where we live where two dirt roads converge. And there is a single stop sign going one way. 9 out of 10 times at that intersection, it'll be completely clear with no traffic heading in either direction. I stop at that stop sign every single time I come to it. And the reason, there are two. The first is because that stop sign is there for my safety and for the safety of those riding with me. It may be clear almost every single time that I drive up to that intersection, but it is not always clear. There have been times when if I had not stopped and had gone sailing through, I would have been flattened by a large corn combine heading down the road in the other direction. We need to submit to our pastor because he has been placed in authority by God and he is responsible for everything that happens here. Not only that, but he is charged with looking out for our eternal safety. So when he preaches a message from the Word of God on a topic that is no fun, we are not to just ignore that. We have to pay attention. We have to the best of our abilities, apply ourselves to following what has been preached. The message that comes from this pulpit comes from the Word of God. And the Word of God was written by God. So if Pastor Don gives us a message, we need to recognize that it came from God. It comes through Pastor, but it comes from God. Now, don't think for a moment that I'm advocating that we follow our pastor blindly. If Pastor Don returns from vacation next week and suddenly decides to stop following God and do something else, you'd better believe I'm not going to submit to that. When he returns, though, and is still following God, I will follow him because in doing so, I am following God. We have the ability to check everything that is said from this pulpit because it comes from one book. As I have said before, we in our day and age have an unfettered access to the Word of God in any translation you can imagine. We have no excuse if we are led astray because we have the opportunity to know what God has said better than any other people in recorded history. So what has been preached to us, we can check it out. What has been preached should be checked out to make sure that it comes from the Word of God. If the pastor is God's man and God's church, he will be looking out for our eternal destiny, preaching to us from the Word of God, the things of God, so that we can be a better follower of God, so that we can grow in the things of the Lord. There will come a time when Pastor Kleinfeld, my former pastor in Wooddale, and Pastor Gommison, my current pastor, will be called to give an account for me. Was I a faithful follower? Did I help them? Was I an encouragement to them or a hindrance? God already knows, but there will be an account given nonetheless. The God that took those of us who are saved from a state of total depravity, dead in our sins, and made us alive in Christ. The God that pulled us out of the fires of hell, the God that we love. We need to do whatever we can to submit, to obey, to help and encourage the man that God has called to lead his church. That is what these passages tell us. So how do we do that? Pray for your leaders. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your deacons. Pray for your teachers. Pray for them, support them, and encourage them, because those prayers are important to God, and they are important to those who are prayed for. I know of several people in this congregation that pray for the church and for those in leadership on a daily basis. And that is such a blessing and an encouragement. And please know that those leaders, those deacons, those teachers are praying for the congregation as well. Imitate the faith of the leadership. The faith, the character, the conduct. We're not to make them into Christian celebrities, but we are to recognize the fact that God has placed that responsibility upon them, and we are thankful for that. I know of a number of churches right now that are seeking and not finding God's man for their church. And we are so blessed not to be in that sort of circumstance. Obey your leaders, not because they rule over you with an iron fist, but because God appointed them to lead. Know the Bible well enough to understand that they are following God and not leading us astray. I will follow Pastor Don wherever he leads, so long as he is following God. And he is. And we need to recognize what a difficult responsibility is to shepherd a flock in service to God. And ask ourselves, what can we do to make that not such a burden, but a blessing? Encourage your leaders. Many of you do, so this is more of a reminder than anything else. The verses that we have looked at tonight were written more to believers than to pastors, but there is an implied message here for those who lead. It is more implied than directly stated. A leader in the church has to have a faith that is worthy of imitating. Is the pastor or leader in the Word? Do they spend time with God on a daily basis, praying and in devotions? Do they have a heart for God? Make sure that you are following Christ, so that when others follow, they will be following Christ as well. A leader needs to watch over the souls that are in their care, to focus on the spiritual well-being of the congregation. There are other aspects to being a pastor or a leader in the church, but one of the most important is the spiritual well-being of those in their charge. On Wednesday nights, when we're in Awana, I love it. I really do. And when a child in Awana gets saved, that is such a blessed event. But even more than that, I love watching the teachers teach the children that are saved. To see them ask questions that are insightful, and to see them grow in the things of the Lord, to see them grow in the faith. That is what a pastor is responsible for doing also. A pastor must feed the flock with the knowledge of God from God's word, while at the same time keeping an eye out for the lost, that God may save them as well. Stay humble and do not become prideful. Recognize that one day you will stand before God for a stricter judgment than most. Stay level-headed and focused on what God has called you to do. Lastly, whether a leader or a follower, we must never lose sight of the fact that we have been called by God to be a part of God's church. Everything we do should not be for our glory, for our agenda, but for God's. I pray that as God's church in this place, our purpose for being here while the Lord tarries would be solely focused on honoring and glorifying Him. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you that we are in your church tonight, hearing your word. I pray for those in leadership. I pray for those of us who are followers in your church. Praise you for all that you have given us. You've given us a pastor that loves you, that follows you, that preaches your word. You've given us your word, the sacrifice of your Son on the cross, without which we would have no hope. I pray for the weeks ahead, Father. Help us to focus on what we need to focus on and accomplish much for your glory. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.